So we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalasada Mataji back with us today. And I think it will be a very beautiful session to have Mataji with us. And she'll be talking on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Please take over. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, I'm having a cough, and that's the reason why I was not able to be on the call for this long. But if I start coughing, please pardon me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajanabhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangraye. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mathya Leela, Chapter 19, entitled The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Reading from texts 136 and 137. Text 136. Prabhu kahe shuno rupo bhakti rasar lakhon shutra rupe kahi bistar na jaye varnan. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Rupa, please listen to me. It is not possible to describe the devotional service completely. Therefore, I am just trying to give you a synopsis of the symptoms of devotional service." Text 137.
Parapara shunya gobhiro bhakti rasa sindhu tomaya chakhaite taro kohi eka bindu.
Translation. The ocean of the transcendental mellows of devotional service is so big that no one can estimate its length and breadth. However, just to help you taste it, I am describing but one drop.
Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Kramatarine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this very wonderful chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having this glorious talk with Srila Rupa Goswami and instructing him in the science of Krishna consciousness, giving all the foundation basically to Srila Rupa Goswami for all of his future work. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we were discussing earlier, that he personally did not leave any written manuscript, the 8 verses of the Shikshashtakam. But through his dear disciples, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami and the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu has given his teachings to us. And that is one of the very, very appropriate reasons why we also, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he actually coined this term that we are all Rupa Nugas. Rupa Nuga means Rupa Anuga. Anuga means follower. That we are followers of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. That's why Srila Prabhupada very, very profoundly he coined this term that we are actually the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, because our basic bhakti, the tenets of bhakti that we are basing our entire life upon, is on the basis of the teachings that is given in the books by Srila Rupa Goswami. And this is the instruction. This chapter talks about all the instructions that Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Goswami, on the basis of which Srila Rupa Goswami has composed all of those beautiful literatures. So, and if it was not for Srila Prabhupada, who translated all the work of Srila Rupa Goswami, made it available to all of us, we would not be here discussing on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, nor, you know, we would not be anywhere if it was not for Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, the followers of Srila Prabhupada have very wonderfully coined this term, that we are not only Rupa Nugas, but we are Prabhupada Nugas, that we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. Because if Prabhupada wouldn't have been there, what would have happened to us? Jodi Prabhupada na hoito, tobe ki hoito? That what would have happened to us if, you know, Srila Prabhupada wouldn't have come and given us what he has? Then what would have been, I mean, where would all of us be? I mean, just to imagine that is very scary. So we are indebted to Srila Prabhupada. It's an eternal gratitude that we have towards Srila Prabhupada. And our every life, our every breath in our life should be as an expression of gratitude towards Srila Prabhupada for what he has done to us, given to us, and how we can, you know, perfect our lives as a gratitude, as an expression of gratitude towards him. So here in these 2 verses that we read, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about devotional service. That Mahaprabhu is saying that, he is saying it very, very openly, that it is impossible to describe devotional service completely. It is truly impossible, because the taste of the pudding is in the eating. So how much ever by words we describe, you know, the pudding is so nice, the pudding tastes like this, this is how you make it, this is how you eat it, this is how you can make it more tastier. We can go on writing theses after theses on just how the pudding is. But unless we open our mouth and actually eat the pudding, we won't know what the pudding is. So similarly, there may be so many literatures that are written on devotional service, but unless we dive ourselves into the ocean of devotional service, it is impossible to fathom even what, you know, one drop tastes like. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to make us understand, that the best way to understand devotional service, Mahaprabhu is saying here that I'm giving you a synopsis of the symptoms of devotional service. And then in text 137, he's saying that the ocean of the transcendental mellows of devotional service is so big that no one can estimate its length and breadth. However, just to help you taste it, I am describing but one drop. So just one drop of this devotional service is enough for us to completely taste the nectar, to taste that bliss. So this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering to us about the symptoms and the synopsis of devotional service. So what, in essence, is devotional service? What are some of the characteristics of devotional service? What are some of the bottom-line principles of devotional service? What are some of the tenets of Krishna consciousness or the tenets of devotional service? So these are some of the things that we need to try to understand in order for us to relish this one drop that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about over here. You know, we all know that there are, six symptoms of surrender. You know, we all know that there are the actual characteristics of devotional service. There are 9 processes of rendering devotional service. There are 9 stages of bhakti. All of this is given to us as, you know, milestones for our journey in Krishna consciousness. All of this is given. We can even gauge what level we are in by understanding the 9 stages of bhakti. The 9 stages of bhakti, starting from Adav Shraddha, then going on, moving on, upwards and upwards and upwards, till we reach the stage of prema. What are the levels that come in between? What are the levels that I currently am? You know, we can personally gauge, you know, this is how much, you know, everything is just arranged for us on the platter. All we need to do is try to accept it. Try to, you know, bathe in this mercy. It is all given to us. This is the mercy of the Acharyas, that they have given to us everything that we need for, you know, a successful devotional service. How to successfully implement devotional service in our own lives is all given to us. The only thing we need is desire from us. Our side, the only thing we need is desire. So how can we develop the desire to, you know, repeatedly, not, you know, some of us who have been in Krishna consciousness, say 10 years, 20 years, 25 years, 26 years in my case, you know, sometimes we feel that devotional service is becoming very monotonous. How can we try and avoid that monotonous feel? How can we try and we can try and remember our initial days of Krishna consciousness or the day that we received initiation? How enthusiastic were we in chanting, in rendering devotional service? And sometimes we feel that same enthusiasm is lacking in us. Sometimes we do get that feeling. So what can we do to keep that enthusiasm at the peak at all times of every day, of every moment? You know, Krishna consciousness is actually a moment-by-moment surrender. It is not that it is not enough that, okay, in the morning I've finished my 16 rounds and I've kept my bead bag, I'm done with my duty, now I can do whatever I want. That I'm in the morning, I'm doing nicely, and then during the day, whatever I want, I can do. Or that, okay, I'm coming to the temple on Sundays, I'm coming to the temple on festival days, and the rest of the time I can do whatever I want. Is that what devotional service is? Or how much are we really making it a part of our own lives? You know, that is the question that we really need to ask ourselves all the time. That, you know, remember, associating with devotees, rendering service in the association of devotees, chanting japa in the association of devotees. And because the greatest weapon in this Kali Yuga is the Sangha of the devotees. That is the greatest weapon. You know, in different incarnations, when Krishna comes, you know, he comes with his own weapons. You know, as Lord Ram, he came with the bow and arrow. As Krishna, he of course had his Sudarshan Chakra. Parashuram had his axe. Lord Balaram has his plow. So every incarnation, they have a particular weapon that they always use to destroy the evil, to kill evil. But in Kali Yuga, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, who is none other than the combination of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, is Krishna himself in the form of his own devotee, taking on the mood and complexion of his dear devotee Radharani, came in this Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya saw that in Kali Yuga, if he has to kill all the demons, then he has to kill everybody. Well, everybody is so demoniac in Kali Yuga. You know, it is explained that in Satya Yuga, that devotee and demon, they would live on different planets. You know, they would be on different planets. The example is given like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they would be on different planets. You know, they would not reside on the same planet. So devotee and demon were always on separate planets in the Satya Yuga. In Treta Yuga, they came a little more closer. They started staying on the same planet, but in different countries, like Ram and Ravana. Like Lord Ram was in Ayodhya and Ravana was in Lanka. So they started moving closer in Treta Yuga. In Dwapara Yuga, they started coming in much more closer. They're coming in into the same family in Dwapara Yuga, like Krishna and Kamsa, or Krishna and Shishupal, same family, or Duryodhan, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. The divine and the demoniac started living in the same family. And guess what happens in Kali Yuga? In Kali Yuga, it comes in the same person. There's a devotee and demon in each and every one of us. That is the quality of Kali Yuga, special quality of Kali Yuga. So when Mahaprabhu came in Kali Yuga, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought that if I have to kill all the demons, then I have to kill everybody in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, everybody is a demon. Everybody is a demon. There's no exception. But Lord Chaitanya, by his compassion, he actually, you know, the astra that he brought with him was Sangopanga Astra Parshadam. His astra were his sangha and upangas. They were his astra. The association of devotees is the astra in Kali Yuga. That is the astra with which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. This is very, very vividly described about the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangu Pangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedhasaha. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought this weapon of the Sangha of devotees. The Sangha, the association of devotees, that is the greatest weapon that we have. And that weapon, if we can use that weapon, you know, our Bhakti Lata Bij that has been planted in our heart, it is always getting attacked by wild animals, by mad elephants, by weeds, you know, who look just like the Bhakti Lata. They are very identical like Bhakti Lata, but they are weeds. Their weeds are like anarthas. The mad elephant is like the offenses that we are committing against another devotee. That is the mad elephant. You know, when it comes and tramples upon our Bhakti Lata Beach, the delicate Bhakti Lata. Imagine if a mad elephant comes into a garden which is just, you know, nourishing small saplings. If a mad elephant is let loose into such a garden, what will be the situation of that garden? Everything will be destroyed. So that is what a Vaishnav Aparad does to our Bhakti Lata. It destroys everything. So there, you know, how can we protect our Bhakti Lata? We have to keep it protected by putting up a fence around that Bhakti Lata. And that fence is the association of devotees. that protects our Bhakti Lata. When we keep association with like-minded devotees, when we do that, then we are actually protecting our Bhakti Lata Beej. It is safe and secure. And that Bhakti Lata Beej will be able to grow very, very, you know, it will be able to nourish properly. It will be able to grow very beautifully. And when the weeds come up, the fences will be able to warn the weeds, warn us that, you know, take care of the weeds. So that's what the Association of Devotees do to us, that they will be able to help us in taking care of our anarthas, in able to grow in our spiritual life. That is the powerful Association of Devotees. So one of the symptoms of bhakti, of devotional service, is how powerful our association is. How much, you know, it is also a normal saying that, you know, we can judge a person by the association that he keeps, by the company that he keeps. So when we keep our association very, very, you know, with like-minded devotees who are very advanced in their personal Krishna consciousness and who are also compassionate towards us, who can help us and hold our hands and also pull us and drag us along with them, then we have the hope that, yes, one day we can reach the ultimate destination, that our Bhakti Lata Beej can finally take rest, finally take shelter at the lotus feet of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. That is the perfection of life. And that can come only when we have the proper kind of association. So in this proper kind of association, even when we find good devotee association, sometimes we don't even know how to associate with devotees. Krishna has said very, very, you know, prominently in the Bhagavad Gita, he has said, Mat chitta mat gata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. That my devotees, they, whenever they get together, they talk about me, they talk about my glories, and by doing so, they derive great satisfaction and bliss. That is devotee association. When we derive any kind of bliss in the association of devotees, that is proper devotee association. Devotee association can never bring fear or anxiety. If that is happening, then there is something wrong in the relationship. In the sense that we are not able to properly, our mindset is not proper when we are associating with devotees. Because proper association of devotees, the end result will always be tushyanti cha ramanti cha. But it gives great bliss and satisfaction. That is what proper association does to us. Imagine when we have these beautiful events like Sadhu Sangha, or, you know, the Festival of Inspiration, or these different, you know, venues where we get together as, you know, like the Mayapur Festival or the Vrindavan Parikrama, or any of these festivals when we get together with devotees. Why do we go on such retreats? Why do we go on such parikramas? It's because we can get that pure devotee association, that sangha is what we are craving for. That it'll be, you know, 2 days or 3 days or a week long or a month long full of just pure bliss. That's what we look forward to. So why can't we also replicate, why can't we try to replicate that 1 month or that 1 week or that 2 days, you know, of the weekend? Why can't we try to replicate that in every day of our lives? What is stopping us? Because the main thing is in our consciousness. How much are we really strongly keeping ourselves connected to the Sangha? That is the most important thing. That even when we are in the vicinity of our own homes, when there is no one at home, we are all alone, but how much are we really connecting to the books of Srila Prabhupada? So much facilities are given because of the, you know, thanks to technology, we have everything at our fingertips. It is up to us how much of that we choose to imbibe in our own lives, how much of that we really choose to apply in our own lives. You know, so much katha, so much of, you know, nectar is going around. It's just for, you know, at our fingertips, how much we are trying to just connect to that. Connect to that and, you know, derive great satisfaction and bliss. You know, when we hear of such pastimes, just this morning I was reading a very beautiful pastime. I want to share that with all of you. It's the pastime of Shivananda Sen and Lord Nityananda. Many of you know this pastime, so please forgive me if I'm repeating it again. But I personally, you know, whenever I read this pastime, every time I get a different realization. This morning when I was reading it, I had this new realization, which I will share with in the end. But the pastime goes like this, that Shivananda Sen had a very special responsibility that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him. That it was the responsibility of Shivananda Sen to take devotees from West Bengal and to bring them to Jagannath Puri every year during Rath Yatra, and to take care of everything on the way, because it was a walking journey. It was like a walking pilgrimage. And, you know, because those days there was not much facilities. So they would all walk, you know, literally Shivananda Sen with all the devotees, they would walk entire way from, you know, West Bengal to Jagannath Puri, and then from Jagannath Puri back again to West Bengal after the Rath Yatra. And during the way, on the journey, Shivananda Sen's specific responsibilities were that, you know, there were many, many, of course, there were states that needed to be crossed. So at each state, you know, there were special toll taxes that had to be paid, because the government of Bengal was under the, you know, the Mughal emperor, Muslim emperor, and, you know, Orissa was under a different, you know, rule. So there was, you know, different taxes that was applicable, different kinds of rules that was applicable. All of that Shivananda Sen, you know, had to take care of. Paying all the taxes, paying all the toll duties, and, you know, such long journey every day to arrange prasadam for all the devotees who are traveling, plus to also arrange for night stay wherever they were stopping at night. They would walk the entire day, and as soon as the sun would go down, they would rest. So to plan this entire journey, that was the only seva that Shivananda Sen did. When he was not doing the seva actually, you know, it would almost take him a month for a month to travel from Jagannath Puri to West Bengal. It was a month-long journey. But 11 months of the year, Shivananda Sen used to spend in planning how they are going to do everything, how to arrange. He would, you know, that was his only seva. That was his only, you know, thought process at all the times, how to make this journey very, very smooth for all the devotees. That was the only thing that Shivananda Sen would do. And Lord Chaitanya, he would really, really appreciate Shivananda Sen for this, you know, invaluable service that he would do to all the devotees. So anyways, one time, Shivananda Sen, you know, he was, you know, they were coming from West Bengal, they were coming to Jagannath Puri. And, you know, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, actually, when Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas and when Lord Chaitanya made Jagannath Puri his headquarters on the order of Mother Shachi, at that time, Nityananda Prabhu also wanted to stay in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya specially requested Nityananda Prabhu, saying that, Nitai, I want you to go back to Bengal and do what I was not able to do. Lord Chaitanya was so humble. You know, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Lord Chaitanya was, you know, he always was in the mood of giving credit to his dear devotees. That was the mood of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya very lovingly told Nityananda Prabhu that I was not able to, you know, arouse God consciousness, Krishna consciousness in the people of Bengal. They all, you know, were not able to take it from me. So I want you to do what I was not able to do. So you please go back to Bengal and fulfill my mission. You please preach in West Bengal. So Lord Nityananda, he did not say a word at that time. The first year that Nitai came to Jagannath Puri, when Lord Chaitanya sent him back saying these words, Lord Nityananda went back in silence. Lord Nityananda did not speak a word back to Lord Chaitanya. He just left, taking this instruction in his heart. He left to West Bengal, and the next year when Lord Nityananda came back, he came back with so many devotees from West Bengal. He came back with all of them and brought all of them so that they could meet with Lord Chaitanya. And at that time, Lord Nityananda fell at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and he said that, my dear Lord, last year when you told me to go and preach, and that you were not able to do, that's why you were sending me. But my dear Lord, what can I do without you? How can I do anything without you? It is because of your potency that I was able to do this, that I was able to bring all these people, these, you know, villages after villages are becoming devotees. It is all because of your potency. I am just the instrument, and you are the one who is actually preaching to all these people. I am not doing anything, my Lord. This was the response that Lord Nityananda gave with the result. Lord Nityananda came like this with all these devotees from Bengal, and Lord Nityananda offered these souls to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and, you know, both of them hugged. So this is the beautiful relationship that, you know, Gauranga and Nityananda have. And every year, you know, Lord Chaitanya would tell Nityananda that, no, Nitai, you go back. You should go back and preach. Because every year Nityananda would come and he would not want to go back from Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu would send him back saying, no, Nitai, you have to go. You have to go and preach. So Nityananda would come back. And then every year when Shivananda Sen would gather up devotees to start the journey, Nityananda would be the first one to register that, yes, I'm also coming to Jagannath Puri. And, you know, he would find, you know, it's explained in the pastime that Nityananda Prabhu would find his replacements, that who would take care of the preaching services even while he is gone, that Nityananda Prabhu would find someone to take care of all of his preaching services so that the mission of Lord Chaitanya would not suffer. So, but still he would want to go and meet with Lord Chaitanya every year. So this particular year, Lord Nityananda and all the devotees from Bengal, you know, they were coming with Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen, when they were crossing one major state border, at that time, Shivananda Sen actually, there were a lot of political formalities that he had to fill in, and he was, you know, arguing with the toll
officer.
There was a lot of, you know, back and forth going on. So all the devotees were waiting. So what Shivananda Sen told Nityananda Prabhu and all the devotees is that, why don't all of you cross the border and go ahead, and I'll just finish the formalities and I will come and join you. So Nityananda Prabhu said, all right, no problem. So all the devotees, they started walking ahead, and then Shivananda Sen continued to take care of all the formalities. By this time, they started walking, and it was, you know, very tiring for them. You know, it was almost afternoon, so they all sat down. They were very, very tired. The sun was, you know, really hot and scorching. So they all sat down under a tree, and Lord Nityananda was, you know, getting very restless because, you know, he was seeing the plight of the devotees, that the devotees were also feeling very tired. They were all hungry. Even Lord Nityananda was feeling very hungry and very tired. And then in his anger, Lord Nityananda, you know, in a way to show the glory of Shivananda Sen, Lord Nityananda displayed transcendental anger. And when Lord Nityananda displayed transcendental anger, he was like a fireball, and he was shouting on top of his voice. He said, "Where is the Shivananda Sen? How can he do this? What kind of arrangement is he doing? Everyone is suffering here. I am suffering. I am so hungry. Where is Shivananda Sen?" And, you know, he said, "I curse that the Shivananda Sen's son will die out of hunger." Like this, you know, and Shivananda Sen's wife was actually there, and she got very scared. She got, you know, very, very scared, and it is explained that her scare was not that Lord Nityananda gave a so-called curse to their son, but her scare was that Lord Nityananda is feeling hungry and that there was no one to help him over there, that her husband is not there because he's the one who makes all the arrangements. So she started running towards that place, you know, going backwards. And Shivananda Sen had already started. They met midway. And then, you know, she was humping and panting, and she said, "Oh, Shivananda, oh, my dear husband, you know, Nityananda Prabhu is extremely hungry. Please come soon. Please come soon. We have to start arranging for some prasadam for all the devotees and Lord Nityananda." So Shivananda Sen and his wife, they all ran back. Both of them ran back to Lord Nityananda. And Shivananda Sen, he came and offered his obeisances to Lord Nityananda, and he said, "My dear Lord, please forgive me that, you know, it is late. I will start arranging immediately." And Lord Nityananda, he was so angry, you know, displaying his transcendental anger. Lord Nityananda just stood up, and as soon as Shivananda Sen got up, he kicked Shivananda Sen in his chest. And by the kick of Lord Nityananda, Shivananda Sen just started rolling up in the air, and he fell down far away. And immediately after receiving that that kick from Lord Nityananda, Shivananda Sen immediately started making arrangements for prasadam. And he first fed Lord Nityananda and all the devotees. And then when Lord Nityananda was sitting and eating, Shivananda Sen very humbly approached Lord Nityananda. And he said to Lord Nityananda that, "My dear Lord, you are so merciful to me." And Lord Nityananda looked up at Shivananda Sen, and he said, "My dear Lord, you are so merciful that I did such a great blunder of keeping all of you hungry, keeping you hungry in this hot sun. You are undergoing so much tribulation, but still you gave me so much mercy that you blessed me with the dust of your lotus feet, which is aspired to even by the devatas. The devatas aspire for a, you know, speck of dust from your lotus feet. And you are so merciful upon this worthless soul that you know, just showered your lotus feet dust upon my chest. I don't deserve this, my Lord. You are so merciful." And Shivananda Sen, genuinely, with all humility, he was saying this to Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda heard this, and his heart completely melted, and he embraced Shivananda Sen, and he said that, "Shivananda, you know, you are so dear to Mahaprabhu and to myself because of your unparalleled service to all the Vaishnavas. That is what has made you so glorious. And me and Gauranga are eternally your servants because of this attitude that you have." And Shivananda Sen was continuing to feel so humble and meek in front of Lord Nityananda that he was genuinely feeling so much grateful that Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen. So some of the realizations I had today was that how much, you know, of course, you know, we understand that what is the glory of a devotee like Shivananda Sen. That Lord Nityananda, he is displaying his transcendental anger, but of course, only a devotee like Shivananda Sen would be able to take the Lord's anger and give such a purport to the Lord's anger, to accept the Lord's anger with this attitude of gratitude. You know, I mean, any of us would have been there. We would have, you know, probably done our services, but we would have, you know, swollen faces, and how could Lord Nityananda do this? I was doing service only. I was not sitting and loitering around, justification after justification on our actions. We would do that. But what did Shivananda Sen do? Shivananda Sen not even for one moment tried to justify what he was doing, where he was. He did not justify it. He simply accepted that, yes, my Lord, I did a mistake. I kept all of you hungry. Sorry. You know, it takes great courage, great humility to accept one's mistake. And that is the, that is actual humility. When we are able to accept our faults, and when we are able to, you know, of course, when the fault is, even if it is not ours, but when we accept it, you know, just like the way Lord Nityananda awarded Shivananda Sen with his supreme mercy by giving him his, you know, divine hug and telling him such a huge statement that, you know, Shivananda Sen has purchased Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga by the attitude of, you know, his service attitude towards the Vaishnavas. Such a great statement Lord Nityananda has made and blessed Shivananda Sen in this way. That is the reward that Shivananda Sen got, that even though he did not, you know, do it out of purpose or intent or anything, but because he genuinely wants to serve. So that service attitude will be rewarded by Krishna. We should understand that, you know, always in our hearts we should understand this fact that even if sometimes there is so-called injustice going on with us, you know, supposing some senior devotee comes and says something to us, and if we also retaliate in the same way, then it's not a very, you know, proper Vaishnava etiquette. But proper Vaishnava etiquette would be to accept and be grateful. Because Krishna will reward us based on that attitude. Always we must remember this. So that is the realization that dawned upon me today when I was reading this pastime. And, you know, for me, I would say that these are the actual symptoms of devotional service. And the drop of devotional service that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about, we can get a tiny vision of what that drop of devotional service is by trying to relish these pastimes, you know, such pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Nityananda, the sweet interactions of the devotees, how we can try to imbibe those qualities in us so that we can taste a drop of that devotional service. That would be the goal and the perfection of our lives. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there's any questions or comments or any reflections, we can take that now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. I have one question.
Yes.
You say that, you know, the devotee association is what will prevent us from making, from committing aparad.
Mm-hmm.
But what if someone were to say that I don't want to commit aparad. That's why I don't associate too much with devotees, because I'd have no self-control, or I don't trust myself, or whatever. Like, so what would you say to somebody who says something like that?
Well, if you don't trust yourself, we should never trust ourselves in the in the right sense. But we should have trust in the association of devotees. That Srila Prabhupada's mission is such a mission. We should have faith and trust in that association. We should have trust in the process. So the process is what we need to have trust in. And what does the process say? We should have trust in that.
Association. And who are we to judge who is that advanced devotee that we should associate with? Because I know that it's not by age.
Right, absolutely. Well, we are not to judge. Well, yes, that is an advanced devotee, so I should take association, and that's not advanced, so I should not take association. No, that's not the way we should, judge. That's a completely, completely negative kind of an approach. Rather,
okay.
The approach should be that, who inspires us in our Krishna consciousness?
Okay.
By associating with which devotee do we feel that, yes, my Krishna consciousness is feeling nourished? That, yes, in such an association, I feel blissful. That is the association that we need to look out for. Not whether someone is advanced, not based on age, not on that. But, truly, in our heart, when we feel that bliss, when we feel that, yes, when I reveal something to this person, that person, without judging me, that person gives me the perfect kind of answer, which is very satisfying to my heart. That is the person we need to know that, yes, this person is suitable for, me to associate with so that I can make spiritual advancement.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very nice questions. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you for your class. I also have a couple of questions. I was definitely that person who, would react in not according to Vaishnava etiquette, as you say. If somebody were to, if I were in... was it Shivananda Singh's position? And so therefore, I wasn't really able to understand his reaction so well. So one of my questions is how to, from a sincere heart, be grateful for a chastisement, even as you said, when that chastisement comes unjustly. Yes, we can say with our mouths, thank you.
mm-hmm.
Thank you, Krishna, for this, but our hearts will say something else, especially in the case where, there's some injustice. So how to actually be grateful in such situations?
Mm-hmm. Well, to be grateful in every situation needs practice, because our general way of reacting, the way we always react in the mundane world, is always tit for tat. That's how the the material nature trains us. That if someone slaps you, you slap them right back, It's very seldom that we go against that nature, because that's the nature of this material world. It is tit for tat. It is, hardcore competition. It is, struggle of the fittest. It's all of that combined together. But, acting spiritually is the complete opposite of that. It is completely opposite. In the sense that When we are trying to be grateful, even in unpleasant situations, it is going to be very, very tough. But for me personally, I can just share a personal anecdote that when such situations, whenever I've been faced with such situations, all I do is I remember Srila Prabhupada. The setbacks that Srila Prabhupada had with, you know, dealing with his own god brothers, and that how Srila Prabhupada did not give up. He would not only was, you know, rejected any kind of physical help by his own god family, but he also had to bear a lot of unpleasantness, you know, bear a lot of cynical criticism. Lot of things Srila Prabhupada had to bear. And, you know, even if we can... So I personally try to remember what Srila Prabhupada went through. You know, and that gives me courage. That gives me the strength to be grateful. And because then when I compare my situation, that seems, you know, like Prabhupada is like a mountain what he went through. You know, what he was faced with. But he still did not give up his gratitude. So when I put myself in that situation and what, you know, came to me, it seems like a mustard seed in front of what Srila Prabhupada had to go through. So it makes it easier for me to accept and be grateful. And also the glorious sons of Srila Prabhupada, you know, our Guru Vargas, when we can remember certain things that we might have personally seen the way our Guru Vargas are dealing to any situation, you know. I personally have witnessed a lot of times what, you know, our Guru Vargas are going through and how they react to situations. That personally gives me the strength to deal with situations when I'm faced with such similar situations. So, of course, remembering that at that particular time, you know, when that criticism hits us, it is very difficult because at that moment, all we can do is think about only that situation. But trust me, if we have the proper desire, if we have the real desire that Krishna, I really want to be grateful, please allow me to be grateful. If we can sincerely, you know, pray like this and, you know, desire like this, Krishna helps us to remember during those situations. I have seen it personally. It may seem very phantasmagoria right now, but it is not something like that. It is something very practical. Of course, it takes, you know, it does, even now, I also have a lot of struggles. It is not easy. For sure it is not easy. But trust me, when we have that attitude of gratitude, you know, even in those kind of situations, it helps us feel so light. It helps us feel that, yes, I do not have grudge towards that person. I have forgiven that person. I have risen above the situation, and I'm grateful to you, Krishna. Thank you. You know, it just brings such a sense of closure from our side. It just lifts off like a 100-pound weight from us, you know. It's almost like that kind of a feeling. So that feeling, if you once experience it, you will want to experience it over and over again. Because to live with guilt, to live with you know, resentment, or to live with, you know, all this negativity is like carrying around, you know, stale bags of potatoes with us. It's just extra baggage. And we don't want to go around, you know, carrying extra baggage with us. It's just painful. So, you know, it is possible. It is definitely possible by the mercy of Krishna. And, you know, if we pray, you know, it is a struggle, but it is possible. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. But your anecdotes, you know, especially when you're talking about Srila Prabhupada, I felt like those anecdotes were more a lesson about perseverance, you know, in the face of difficulties, more so than gratitude. And but as you were speaking, though, it occurred to me that if we do approach the situation with that attitude of gratitude, even if we are not really cognizant of what it is to be grateful for in that difficult moment, but just because, you know, because Krishna is in control and therefore everything is, you know, for us, nothing can be against us type thing. So, you know, this is just what I was thinking as you were speaking, that maybe if we try to adopt that feeling of gratitude, even though we don't know why yet we should be grateful, then it kind of like maybe it opens us up for down the line experiencing how having to deal with that situation was actually Krishna's arrangement for our welfare somehow or other, even though maybe in the present we cannot understand. But in the future, we will see how this was actually Krishna's mercy. So I guess what I'm saying is that if we have this attitude that everything, even the unpleasant things, comes to us by Krishna's mercy for our best interest, even though we can't see how at the moment, then because we have that mindset, we will, you know, down the line, see how, yes, this was something to indeed be grateful for.
Right, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, this reminds me of a very funny story, actually. I'll just share that quickly. You know, in India, I mean, this scenario is very common in India, the scenario that I'm going to use. You know, there was once a big construction, you know, manager. He, you know, used to construct very tall buildings, and, you know, he had a lot of workers under him. So one time what happened was his building was getting constructed. He had got the contract for, you know, a huge building. So he was on the top floor of the building, and, you know, he wanted to get the attention of a worker who was on the ground floor. So to, you know, get the attention, he started throwing, you know, he just, he first, you know, what he did was he just took out, some currency from his pocket, and he just made a bundle out of it, and he threw it on the worker. And the worker saw, oh, currency, a bag of currency, wow. He just picked it up and he put it in his pocket. And the owner was like, oh my God, I'm, you know, sending down these words of money so that this guy would look up. He's not looking up, and he kept sending, you know, kept throwing down, you know, this, you know, rolled up kind of money. He was just throwing these notes and currency bills. He was throwing it down, and this guy was constantly putting it in his pocket, this worker. And he did not even one time look up. So then this owner got really mad and frustrated, and then, you know, he took up, you know, one small stone that was lying down in the construction area. He just took that small stone up and he just threw that down to the worker. And as soon as he threw that stone down, immediately the worker looked up and said, who is this throwing a stone at me? You know, and then the owner was like, yeah, right, you know, I've been throwing all this, you know, so much money down to you, everything, you nicely put it in your pocket, and as soon as I threw one stone, you're like complaining, oh, who threw this, and now you're looking up. So that's what got your attention. So, you know, sometimes in the material world, we act like that. You know, when happiness comes our way, we never question. We very nicely, you know, claim that, yes, we deserve this happiness. we very nicely, very comfortably, we take it that we, yes, we deserve this happiness. But a little bit of sorrow comes, we immediately question, how can I get this sorrow? What have I done to deserve this? We never question when happiness comes our way that what have I done to deserve this happiness? You know? So the example that, you know, it just shows the nature, you know, that how material nature has just, you know, covered us so deeply that it is covering our real self, you know, our real self, which is just looking for pure happiness, you know. It's looking for, you know, ananda. Our original nature is Satchidananda. So that is completely covered because of this material covering that we have over us.
In that anecdote, what was the original reason for the, I think it was the supervisor, why did he want to get his attention in the first place?
Oh, just to get his attention, because he probably wanted to say something to the worker.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Just to get his attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can I just quickly ask one last question?
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking about the fact that Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Singh, even though it came out later that, you know, he had been harboring this gratitude for Shivananda Singh for all this wonderful service that he had been doing. So, I mean, I know you kept saying that, you know, Nityananda's anger was like, maybe not real, you know, it wasn't like real, it was maybe just apparent anger. But, I mean, do we know why he actually kicked a person that in his heart he was feeling so grateful for?
Well, see, Lord Nityananda, it's not the first time he did this. Lord Nityananda is called Avadhuta. Avadhuta means he is mad in ecstasy. And Lord Nityananda's ways and the way he deals is very, very mysterious. Even great, you know, devotees are not able to justify the actions of Lord Nityananda. That being said, to receive the kick of Lord Nityananda and to receive an embrace from Lord Nityananda in the absolute platform, it is the same. Mm-hmm. It is actually the same. That's how Shivananda Sen, who was the pure devotee, could understand that. Well, because we are not on that platform, we see one as an act of anger and the other as an act of love.
Well, that takes me back to your story just now with the construction worker. To say, we saw the one on the ground floor, he saw the money coming down is different from the stone coming down.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were both just
to grab an attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the owner's point of view, he was just trying to get the attention. So whether it was money or whether it was that stone, he just wanted that worker's attention.
Mm-hmm.
So in the absolute sense, you know, there is, you know, the only thing a devotee fears, actually, is neglect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Srila Prabhupada always said this one thing that, you know, if you read the Krishna book, and especially the pastime on Krishna stealing butter, at that, in the end, Srila Prabhupada talks about this, that Mother Yashoda, when she came, when Krishna was finally released from by Nanda Maharaj, and, you know, everything was done, and when Mother Yashoda came, at that time, in the beginning, Krishna was so angry with Mother Yashoda that he neglected to even see or look at Mother Yashoda.
Yeah.
So Mother Yashoda was not able to take that. It was like, you know, she was not going to live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for a devotee, neglect is the worst sort of thing.
Yeah.
But receiving mercy or receiving chastisement. I mean, you know, Shruta Kirti Prabhu, you know, he actually has written a book on the chastisement that he has received from Srila Prabhupada. you know. But all that, he describes it as supreme mercy from Srila Prabhupada. Because you chastise only such a person whom you love the most. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said that on many, many occasions. Prabhupada said that the reason why I'm chastising you is that I know that you will not leave me even if I chastise you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the faith that Prabhupada had when he would chastise anyone. Mm-hmm. If he didn't have that faith, he would not chastise anyone. So actually to receive chastisement is the greatest form of mercy from a devotee. That means that devotee considers me that, you know, whatever that devotee will do to me, that I will not leave him. That is the way a devotee who receives chastisement sees it. That's the outlook.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a promotion in one sense to receive chastisement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the greatest form of mercy that Shivananda Sen got when he was kicked by Lord Nityananda. That is the greatest form of mercy.
Yeah, I guess another way of saying it is maybe that that chastisement is a symptom of a relationship of unconditional love. So,
right, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so very much, Ashi, for
thank
your
you.
For your
thank
instructions and
oh, no, no,
illuminations.
No, no. I'm just repeating. I'm just a parrot. Nothing else. Thank you so much for your talk.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for a wonderful class, and I enjoyed the story about Shivananda Sen. That was very enlightening. And I was just thinking, this is such a wonderful discussion. I couldn't help but think of how Dhruva Maharaj must have felt when he was chastised. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes things are said in a way that really deeply pierce your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can just imagine, as just a five-year-old boy, a young boy who was not permitted to sit on his father's lap, what it must have felt like. You know, I mean, that's just very, very hurtful. And so his response was to listen to his mother and go to the forest and deeply pray for to the Lord. So that was kind of, we can think of that as one way we could, you know, respond to such a situation also. And I was also thinking that, you know, in the Shishtashtakam, the fifth verse, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about patitam, how fallen we are. And he's, you know, I think it's very hard for us to adopt this attitude of being a servant of the servant of the servant. Somewhere down the line, no matter how hard we try, this becomes a problem. And the reason is, I think, because we are in illusion. And that last bit of illusion is so hard to cross, because at somehow or the other, we will always identify with the fact that, you know, we are important, and what we have to say is important, and so it starts to hurt. And I'm wondering that one way to come out of this might be to really consider how, you know, how this material world is really a terrible place, and to seek the mercy of the Lord, and to invoke those prayers, and to request Him to imbibe these feelings of, you know, more humility and humbleness, because that there is no other way we could get that, you know, other than just pray. There is no way, at least it's not physically even possible to think that I could become such a person, you know, like Shivananda.
Very,
Sen. It's just,
very true.
It's just unless and until you detest the material world so much, and in your attachment to Krishna is so deep, there's no way, no other way, I think, that you can come to that point.
Right. Very true. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
I wonder if I, if you don't mind if I kind of follow up on that last comment. Because, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, although he, you know, after receiving such deep hurt and insult, he did go to the forest to meditate, but I don't know that he went, you know, in a spirit of gratitude. My understanding was that it was more really in a vengeful spirit. I mean, it was a happy ending, you know, but I understand that his initial impetus for going and meditating on the Lord was so that
right.
he could get a kingdom
good. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But nonetheless, that, you know, he followed the process given by Narada Muni, and then he had a very happy ending, as you said. But yes, you're very right that he did not have the, you know, he went with a grudge. But because he had the help of Narada Muni, and he followed the instructions that Narada Muni gave him, very, very sincerely, he followed that. And that's why he got all the success, you know, and he had a very happy ending. He got Krishna's mercy in the end. And he had that most beautiful realization that I was looking for, you know, glass, and I got a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was his profound realization.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Mataji. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all good Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you very much for such a wonderful class, Mataji. We feel that much potency in your class. Mataji, can you please sing from 10th canto 1, Gopi Gita?
Hare Krishna. Is there any more questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
This is actually
Mahmulu Bhish to Venkatapati from Hyderabad.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Mataji. One last question. As a spiritual practitioner, we would like to practice this quality, but when you are in this mundane world where you are doing business and you're interacting with people, sometimes that attitude that we're trying to develop on a spiritual platform, sometimes it acts negatively on a material platform where you have to kind of interact with your subordinates, or you have to instruct, have work done. If you have the spiritual, way of dealing with them, sometimes at least in time, place, and circumstance, it is difficult to get work done. So how do we reconcile that qualities that we want to develop spiritually, and how we can still able to be successful in your business pursuits or other things?
Very, very good question, Prabhu. Very good question. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that or bringing that perspective. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, you know, the answer lies in the life and dealings of Srila Prabhupada himself, that when it came down to business, Srila Prabhupada was a perfect businessman. You know, he would deal with businessmen like a businessman. He was the best, you know, deal cracker. The way he acquired the Fisher Mansion in Detroit, that is, you know, and then how he got the deities of Radha Landaneshwara. All of these anecdotes from Srila Prabhupada's life show that how much of an expert businessman and a mind reader Srila Prabhupada is, you know. So these are qualities that, yes, when we are dealing with, you know, people, we have to sometimes act like them. But see, you have to act like them. You don't have to, you know, become like them. There is a difference. The difference is that in your consciousness, you can still be, you know, completely connected with Krishna. Keeping your connection, keeping your sadhana very, very strong, keeping that connection very strong with Krishna, in your consciousness, you are very safe and secure. And then externally, whatever you may be doing, Krishna will give you the right kind of intelligence how to deal with people. But that will come only when you are properly, you know, connected, you know, very, very strongly through your sadhana with Guru and Krishna. That is very important. So it is not really so much like externally. I'll just give you a very, very, you know, simple example. Like externally, we may see a devotee going out shopping and a karmi going out shopping. They both might be buying the same kind of fruits or vegetables. The devotee, you know, is thinking completely different, the karmi is actually thinking very different. The karmi is thinking, oh, today I feel like eating this, my family should eat this. The devotee is thinking, oh, this mango is like fresh in the season, we should offer this to Krishna. Oh, green peas, you know, winter is coming in India, oh, green peas, oh, they are coming in fresh, so we should offer that to Krishna. So that is the consciousness of a devotee. Externally, they may be acting in the same way, but internally, conscious, the consciousness is very, very strongly connected with Krishna. So for your business, for your workspace, you cannot be like, you know, yes, yes, I'm very humble, you do what you want with me. No, Prabhupada is a tiger when it came to business, you know. He never let anyone take advantage because he knew that this is not his money. This money, Lakshmi, belongs to Krishna. So making proper utilization of the Lakshmi is very, very important. So even when you're doing business, if your consciousness is right, you will be given the proper intelligence how to deal with people so that, you know, no one can cheat you because this material world, of course, it's a place of cheats. So at least we should try to be mindful of that and deal with them accordingly, but not become like them. That's another thing. But we have to be very, very careful in how we, you know, act in such a way that we are able to, you know, protect our own deep attachment to Krishna. At the same time, you know, keeping the tenets of Krishna consciousness alive and properly connected in with us, and at the same time dealing with people in the proper business way that we have to. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Mataji. It was very enlightening for me. I'll follow the path you just shared. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. So if there's no more questions, I want to honor Mataji's request of the Gopi Gita. She very, very mercifully allows me to relish Gopi Gita whenever I speak. So Mataji, I'm very grateful to you. So here's for you, Gopi Gita. This is, this is the eighth verse, if I'm not mistaken, from Gopi Gita. This is one of my very favorite ones. The translation is, "My dear Lord, O lotus-eyed one, your sweet voice and charming words, which attract the minds of the intelligent, are bewildering us more and more. Our dear hero, please revive your maidservants with the nectar of your lips." Adharamrita. So here is text 8. Madhura Ragira Ragu Vakya Buddha Manognaya Pushkari Kshana Vidhikari Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol, Mataji. Thank you very much. Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. I'm very grateful to you for this opportunity every time.
Thank you, Mataji.
All right. If there's no more questions, we can end the call.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. As usual, as I always say, when you speak, our ears are all sharpened. Thank you so much for the very nice class that you give when you come. It is really, really nice, Mataji. Thank you so much for the wonderful pastime and the very important realization that you shared and a very good question of the session also. We can end the class now. Thank you all so much for joining again. Please continue to join like this. Thank you all. Vancha kamsa karu vyashta kripa sindhu vyevacha patitanam pavane vyo vaishnavi vyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai shri la prabhu paad ki jai shri shri chaitanya charitamrita ki jai.
Har Grace Kala Sada Mataji Ki Jai. Hare
Krishna. Ananta Gauri Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. It was a wonderful class and so many things you shared that we can learn. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.